We are cordially invited to the marriage of Jack and Rebecca. This is the AfterBuzz TV after show for This Is Us, Season 1, Episode 14, I Call Marriage. Let's talk about it right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
As we're coming up on Valentine's Day.
This is very appropriate.
And just love
rips your heart out
in general. We got a treat of Mandy Moore singing it tonight too.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in, everybody. This is the AfterBuzz TV after show for This Is Us. We're talking Season 1, Episode 14, I Call Marriage. I'm your host, Erica Shannon, and I'm joined by these lovely ladies tonight.
Hey guys, I'm JJ Juergens, and you can follow me at JJ Juergens.
Hey guys, my name is Amber Plaster. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Amber Plaster.
Hi everyone, I'm Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV.
And unfortunately, we are missing Whitney again tonight. Send her all your well wishes and talk about the episode with her. I know she'll be watching soon. But let's get into the episode tonight.
Yes.
Jack and Rebecca, we finally got to see their vows. Mm-hmm. We actually heard them twice. Once in what their present time was, and then when they were actually reciting them. I thought they were so beautiful.
They're so good together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
they're perfect.
Reading those vows at the end, not to skip ahead, but just an amazing marriage, and that the fact that they do still hold up to each mm-hmm. other, and you can tell, like, even at the beginning when they wrote those, that they are just so truly in love, and, like, all these years have passed, and they're still in love. That's hard to find these days.
Mm-hmm. Very.
And granted, it was back then, too, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
Unquote. Yeah. 70s.
And I think we said again, I love that a lot of people are watching this show, but for men, really are going to have a hard time competing with Jack, because we were just saying that he is the best guy ever.
And Toby.
Toby is too. Actually, yeah, two really good ones on this
show. Yeah.
I mean, actually, three. I mean, Randall's pretty great, too. There's
Randall had a hard day.
Yeah. He's still great, though. He's
Randall
still sweet.
Was not an A-plus today.
These guys are some real... It is nice. I just think it's great. Seeing really great relationships, really good connections, and, I mean, I'm in love with these boys.
I mean, they're especially great. When you put them next to Miguel.
And then we have to hear him called Miggy tonight. Like,
I don't even know what that was about.
Oh.
It was...
It's a terrible nickname.
Not
terrible. But just made it even worse, though.
Did we finally get to meet Shelley? Had we met her before? I know he had talked about his wife previously.
I think we met her before in, like, the, when they had a Super Bowl episode. They were all in the bar together.
Yeah. Yeah.
He mentioned it.
No, she was there in the... They were in the booth together.
They were talking about their having issues with their children being sick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we can kind of start to piece together, like, when things started mm-hmm. to go sour for them. Because we mm-hmm. find out tonight that they were getting divorced, which I think that was around, like, the 80s. I think divorce was still probably a taboo thing
back then. Yeah.
And it kind of shocked Jack and Rebecca a little mm-hmm. bit.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that they took them out to dinner to announce to their friends that they got divorced. Like, why wouldn't you just call and be like, hey, this is the situation? And also, they work together, right? Miguel and Jack work together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was like a weekly thing.
Maybe it's like a double date. Well, they're like, hey, we're finally together. Why don't we just break the news now?
I kind of got that, too. I feel like they weren't actually doing that very often, because Jack and Rebecca were like, oh, it's so nice to finally talk and be able to be away from the kids. So I feel like maybe the times that they were all together or where they'd have opportunities, their kids were always around. So I think feel like maybe they just wanted... I kind of got this, like, on an adult level, wanting to have that conversation just with them without kids around and not just at work or somewhere where, you know, I kind of feel like if they're a couple that hangs out together and they all do a bunch, you know, stuff together, raise their kids together, that maybe that was the way to kind of break the family apart.
But then the question is, do you stick around dinner after that? Like, it seemed like it was at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's like,
I would be after the food, I think.
I think I'm gonna step out
right?
or something. Like, I think if it would have just brought the whole night down.
Seems
doesn't
like
matter because we didn't see the rest of that.
Well, true.
They didn't make us suffer through the dinner with them.
Yeah.
It seemed like maybe a phone call situation to me. I don't know about a dinner. But maybe they had been thinking about, you know, separating for a long time, and they were more okay with it by the time they had dinner with their friends, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like back then, people were way more social. People don't let people know what's going on in the person's lives via text or phone call.
Right.
It's more like that actual person-to-person interaction, which
it's
feel
a very good point.
Is way more meaningful back then.
I think it's still meaningful. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to tell somebody that there's something going on in your personal life on social media when it's really close to you. You want to wait till you, like, run into them again and, like, mention it, which is why I was like, why didn't he mention it at work? But then I thought it was interesting the next day that Jack was like, yep, are you cheating on her? And my first reaction was, like, he's such a golden retriever. He's such, like, hey, are you messing up? You better not mess up. You better be honest with your wife always. I thought that was just adorable. But also, that he was, like, that concerned, like, the next morning, first thing in his mind, is like, I gotta check on my boy Miguel and see what he's up to. So, I guess that then he hadn't. Then I guess he hadn't.
I think part of that, too, is Jack trying to figure out, he also doesn't want to become them. So he's like, they were already having that distance with him and Rebecca. So I think he was like, no, it can't just happen just because you got distance. So I think that was a lot about himself, too, versus just about Miguel. I think he was making sure that it must have happened for some reason, because he cheated or he did something, because it couldn't just be that two people fell, let a relationship go just by distancing themselves.
I think Jack was, like, learning, you know, gaining wisdom from someone else's failed marriage, because it seemed like when Miguel was saying all the things that, like, he didn't notice his wife anymore, like, those were early signs that he missed. And Jack is kind of in that stage right now, so he's, like...
That's true.
...fixing his problem before it gets worse. Mm-hmm. So it was more so learning from Miguel's mistake and doing it and applying it to his own marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that Jack was looking at it as... Especially because we find out that he didn't necessarily believe in love until Rebecca came along. So he's like, I found this person that I want to be with forever. You said you found your person that you want to be with forever. How do you guys split up? Like, what happened? And, like, you guys are saying, Miguel saying, it's the little things. It's the arguments that you have today that you're still having 2 years from now that just keep chipping away at that strong foundation that you guys have.
I think especially, too, after they came home from dinner that night and Jack was still struggling with it and Rebecca was just like, she seemed more like, hey, you know, this happened. So I got the sense that why he would be fearful that, oh, yeah, she's thinking these things and she's going to leave me, or she feels this way, too.
And it doesn't help that she's spending late nights with her ex-boyfriend.
Yep.
Singing sweet love songs and
so awkward
jazz.
I thought it was also awkward that he brought up a dinner. He's like, yeah, you know, you're spending those late nights with so-and-so. And she was like, can you not put me on blast right at this very second? In front of people who are getting divorced, that would be so great. And he was like, what? I'm joking. And I was like, so awkward. But then we saw the teaser for the next episode where we found out that apparently Rebecca had dated the piano guy back in the day. I still don't think that I'm not worried about Rebecca having any feelings for him, but it's going to be a problem for them.
He has feelings for her, though.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it complicated.
Well, I think it's also complicated in the fact that, yes, they have a history together, and then, really, did she... Okay, she's got this amazing guy who just took her back to their very first apartment that they had together. At the end of that night, I mean, they just had amazing sex in the shower again. Does she have to say, hey, by the way, I want to go on the rope? I mean, that conversation could have waited till the next day.
Yes.
A couple days later. Like, I just felt sorry for Jack. I feel like, I mean, that's just kind of a kick in the face for everything he just did.
Yeah, she ruined it.
Yeah.
She just straight up.
I mean, what man does that? That's the most romantic gesture Jack could have done for her, and then she literally ruined the entire night by that one simple statement.
And this is why guys don't do things like that. Because they feel like they don't, you know, it's Rebecca.
I'm actually surprised she wanted to go.
Yeah. Was thinking about it.
On the road, you mean?
Yeah, she actually, like, she was like, that's amazing. That's not, I have a family. That's the vibe I was getting. So I was also thrown off guard.
I think it was more like the switch where, like, at first she was so adamant against it and, like, I have the best understanding husband right now who probably, you know, wouldn't let me do it for the family. And then she saw all these great things that Jack did for her, be like, maybe he would say yes, and then she brought it up.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do like that. I do like her monologue that she had to Ben about all the things that Jack did.
Me too.
And it was like, mm-hmm. my husband's a superhero. Like, don't get it twisted. He will be there for me. He loves me. Of course he does. He wouldn't do half the stuff he does for me if he didn't.
I love that. I was like, tell him. You tell him.
Yeah.
So good.
She took serious offense to that. Like, how dare you talk about my husband like that?
I like the moment too.
Yeah. But I do agree that she ruined it. On the bathroom floor. Mm-hmm. Just like, I'm loving you right now, but I also want to go do something. But then we have to think, a few episodes ago, maybe more than a few, she wanted to get back into music. She wanted to get back into singing. So, you know, when you have a second chance, you have to kind of take advantage of it.
Yeah, I'm not faulting her. I say, yeah, go for it. Take your chance. I just don't agree with the timing of bringing it up.
Yeah.
Timing.
Timing.
Mm. Somebody has bad timing, like Toby. Mm. He tried to surprise his lovely lady Kate at camp with a bag of goodies.
How do you guys feel about that? Because my reaction was kind of like, oh, you couldn't leave her alone. Oh, you were missing her, so you joined. You didn't think that she actually wanted you to come, did you? Like, she's there to get some space. That was I know he was supposed to be sweet, but I was kind of like, that was more for him than it was for her, him showing up.
Well, I think he admitted that, right? When they had that kind of blowout after Pound, he said, I needed you to do something for me. You ever think that sometimes?
Yeah.
Because he's always the one reassuring her and making sure that she's comfortable and she feels good.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, there's this one time I had surgery.
Two major surgeries.
Yeah.
Two major surgeries, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, come on. Give a little to Toby sometimes.
I agree. I saw his point, too. I thought... You know, I mean, I disagree with him staying because I thought he stayed out of jealousy because of Duke the Dick, you know?
Yeah.
So I agree with you on that.
I just wrote down his name as Gross Boy. He's so
He's
gross.
Just Dick here.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
He's the worst. I thought he was maybe just like angry flirting with Kate. And then like he walked by the other girl and she's like, I almost learned Crow's Pose today. And he's like, you won't. And I was like, okay, mean girl. Who dropped you on the head as a child? What is his excuse? He's the worst.
He's awful. We went in on him.
Yeah. We did.
I thought I was going to like him as like a bad boy. No. He's just terrible.
No. He's just a mean, angry person. And there's a difference between someone who's angry and an angry person. Mm-hmm. Like, something can happen and ruin your day. Yeah, you're temporarily angry. But someone who's just angry at everything, every single day of their life, I think that's Dick.
And
Dick?
Yeah.
I think that's Dick. I did it again.
But it's interesting to me because he didn't have that same attitude with Toby. He was kind of like, if you stay, you'll get all the girls, especially on Thursdays, kind of thing. So why is he only that way with women?
I think it's also, I mean, he's a manipulator. I think he's at this camp, and he's taking advantage of people when they're weak, and he knows what their weaknesses are, so he kind of can prey into that, into their insecurities. And so that's why he was cool with Toby, because he thought he was just another, you know, like...
Another bro.
Yeah.
He's kind of a bully.
Right.
Well, it's like that bully mentality, that he'll pick on other people just so he can feel better. It's a lot of insecurity within himself. Yeah.
And there's people like that when you're in a situation like that at a camp or some, you know, out of your comfort zone, and then they can prey on those moments of those people because they're out of their element. They are like feeling weakness, so they might do something they might normally do, like make out with him.
But why are you preying on weak people at a camp where people are trying to get better? It's like, staying in an eating disorder camp and being like, hey, you're not skinny enough. You want to make out with me? Like, what is wrong with you? Like, what?
Maybe he's like, was that thing? The pickup artist or something that was like, to get a girl, you have to insult her kind of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe he works under that mentality. I don't know. I don't like him. I want to kick him in the shins.
For those of you listening on the podcast, I believe that there's a small category of the men's rights movement called pickup artists. Which there's like, it's basically like how to get a girl to sleep with you, because girls are all mean. They only like the bad boys. So you have to treat them like the bad boys. And it's this kind of controversial and I think really aggressive and terrible mean theory that you have to knock a girl down a peg to get her attention. And then you can trick her into all these mind games into sleeping with you. I guess all of this just becomes, I don't know where this came from, but just so you guys know, that's what that is. And there's a lot of controversy about it. And the fact that you brought that up kind of made me think that he maybe has been rejected a lot and feels like he has to be picking on people and be like, remember that you're ugly so that you'll make out with me later. Like, it's terrible. It's a terrible backwards way of thinking. And it's not how any human wants to be treated, of course. But people are buying the books and drinking the Kool-Aid because they're desperate for attention, I guess. I don't know.
So taking it, let's pretend we're in that world right now. Do you think that there have been girls that fall for it?
Yeah.
I think there are some more people who are more vulnerable than Kate is. Probably have fell.
I know plenty of people, men and women, that will react to negative attention because they get no attention.
Yeah.
Yes.
Negative attention is still attention.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's real, especially when you're emotional and you're losing weight. And I'm sure people aren't looking at you in the way they used to. If you're depressed, maybe, and also unhealthy currently, you're probably not getting any attention. So maybe that's why he's there preying on these people who need help. He's just the worst.
He's terrible.
And we went over this. We went over this last week. So I want to get your input. Do you think Kate would ever fall for it?
At the first episode, I did. I was like, ooh, there's, you know, some little challenge there. And but you know, it's not that Toby's laid back. Toby's pretty aggressive sexually. Toby's like, hey, you're hot, let's go make out. Like, he's not feminine with his energy at all. Toby's very manly in that way. And so I don't think that she's lacking anything in her current relationship, in my opinion, to logically go for him.
Yeah. I think we all agreed basically to that last week.
Mm-hmm.
That
if we she does, I will understand it. It will just be because the writers want conflict. I it makes no sense for
me. It's that love triangle that works every time at every show.
Yeah.
The cause is drama.
Yeah. I mean, I was interested at first because, like, she had a break, you know, and he was mysterious. But now he's just mean. He's just plain mean.
And I don't know how they're going to redeem him at all.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm sure
he'll
have some sad story.
Or we'll actually find out his, backstory that makes us empathize with him.
Yeah.
Or even sympathize with him.
But will we, though?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's the question. Yeah. Will we?
I don't know if we will on that one.
Yeah,
it's gotta be a good backstory.
Everyone's got their own garbage, and they don't go out to people in yoga class and be like, no, you won't.
Did it bother anybody that she didn't put the ring on?
No.
She
didn't notice
about
it.
No.
But she's newly engaged, and maybe she doesn't want to talk about Toby when she's working on herself. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt, because I think she's still crazy about Toby.
Mm-hmm.
Although
I do agree
it's kind
that.
Of freaking me out that she keeps looking at cabin 13. I'm like, girl, you need to walk away.
13's a terrible number, you guys.
Yes! Ooh, I love that it's like the unlucky number.
I know.
Don't go in there!
I honestly thought...
Symbolism.
I honestly thought Toby was just going to leave her the bag and she was going to find it herself.
Uh-huh.
I was surprised that he actually was like, this was my last surprise for you. I thought she would have looked and then she probably would have felt even worse. Like, oh my God, you know. I don't know. But
that would have been a great reveal, though.
Yeah.
Because
gives her a reason to go back to Toby.
And I was kind of upset, even though I know because he just had surgery and he's on the mend and everything like that, I was kind of upset that he didn't get on his knee.
I didn't like the presentation. I didn't like that he showed up unannounced. I mean, girls think about how they're going to get proposed to forever, and for you to kind of just, like, shove it on them, it's kind of like... I think she was, like, in her workout clothes. Like, she didn't look cute. No one could take a picture of the moment. Like, maybe she had envisioned it another way, you guys.
But that's what
not
he was
the time
trying.
Place.
That's what he was trying to do. He had, you know, gotten the hotel room and everything like that. He tried to make the effort. She just didn't go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he wanted to. She probably would have been dressed up. They probably would have went to dinner.
Okay.
He probably would have made it a big
thing.
That's fair. But she was like, I need to work on
myself.
But then,
like, maybe read the room and let her be at camp for a few more weeks until she's... That's how I feel.
I don't know.
But I think that might be a symbolism why she didn't put on the ring, because it's not going to happen yet.
Yep.
Hey, I don't like that.
So I was wondering, too, because I thought, oh, if she was that excited, it would have just gone on, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
But the fact
right
that
back.
We haven't seen it yet means we're not going to see this relationship actually.
I don't like that hesitation at all. I do not.
Sorry, you just made me think of something for
a
prediction.
Okay.
So I'm going to save it. But from one marriage to another, or one almost marriage to another marriage, Kevin and Sophie.
Oh my goodness.
He's trying to bring that old thing back, trying to get her to seduce her with lava fries.
Lava fries.
Yeah. That sounds pretty
good. Like delicious.
Yes.
I like the side of Kevin. Because he, deep down, he's actually romantic. Who knew?
Yep.
And, yeah, he's messed around with a lot of girls, but I think it takes that one person to actually make him realize, like, hey, I got to change my ways and actually be a good person and settle down and actually stop being a party boy, but actually be, like, an adult grown man. I like the side that we're seeing out of Sophie that we didn't get with all the other girls we've already seen him with.
Mm-hmm. I think Sophie's a distraction. I don't think she's the one.
Interesting.
She's very nice, and I think she's moved on and he hasn't, and I think the next person that he meets is going to be the one that, like, he doesn't, like, you know, sleep with, but, like, the one that he falls for will be probably the one that's the best fit for him. I don't think it's Sophie,
but I like Sophie because she's like,
I like her too.
She's the first girl that he's actually, like, actively fighting for to get his attention, her attention, and, like, go out of his ways to do things, where all the other girls just kind of came to him.
I agree. Totally agree. I like her too. The only thing I didn't like, I love her. I love seeing the side of him as well. I completely agree with you. The only thing I didn't think was quite fair of him was to be like, I'll be here tomorrow, you know, waiting. Like, because she just said she's dating somebody. Mm-hmm. Her life's going really well. And he's like, well, I know I'm happy for you. If you're in love, I'm happy for you. But then I'll be there tomorrow, which gave her less than 24 hours to, like, really contemplate.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, which I thought, okay, that's, I get it for the sake of the pacing of the show and everything, because it did make for a great moment the next day and stuff. But I felt like, Kevin, that was a little bit unfair. Maybe, like, give her the rest of the week. Like, I mean, at least, like, a couple days to process. Yeah. Especially, I don't know that I would have felt as strongly about that if he wasn't the one that cheated on her. But the fact that he cheated on her and ruined their marriage, then I felt, I don't know that you get to say that, like, 24 hours. That's a lot to, like, for her to, she was letting you go and pursue your career. She was supportive of your acting goals. Then you go and cheat on her, and now you're giving her less than 24 hours to make a decision.
I like that we found that out through her, because let Kevin tell it. He went off to LA to be an actor.
Yeah.
She stayed, and they just split or whatever that way. When he was talking to Marla Gibb, that's my way of plugging her on the show. Hey, what's up, Marla? She was on The Jeffersons.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
But
she's great, by the way.
Yeah. Like, in telling that story, it seemed like it was so simple, and then to find out that he cheated, it's like, okay, I'm agreeing with you, JJ, that you don't get to come back like that. You're the one who caused it. You caused us not being together for 12 years.
It's a little bit arrogant to be like, I'm back.
But yeah, that's Kevin.
Here I am, you know, and she's like, that's why she kind of, like, bristled at the where we left things, because where we left things was he cheated on her and kind of broke her trust and therefore broke the marriage, and she was kind of like, you can't just show up and ruin my life again. You know I'm gonna fall for you. This isn't fair to me. Like what you said, like, she's dating someone now, and he's like, okay, but you like me, right?
Now.
And she's like, that's not everything. Yeah.
And the years of damage. She said how she was hurt, and then she dated jerks. You know, like so he. It was like, it wasn't just the pain from him. It was like the next pain of the next guys after those years that are just hard to go through, and then to finally find happiness, and then he's surprise, you
baggage.
Know.
I think she said she got married again, right?
Yeah,
which was probably a rebound, thinking that that was the solution to the problem, and that didn't even work out. I don't know. It's just I think that. I think I'm agreeing with what at least a couple of you are saying, that there's something there she wants, but there's all that baggage that she's carrying with her as well.
He's kind of pushing 100 miles an hour, and she's like, whoa, what is that? Like, brakes. She's like, hello. Just because I like you doesn't mean we need to, like, go this fast. And he's like, okay, but tomorrow morning. So it's a lot. Be a lot to deal with. Even if she was crazy about him, it would be a lot.
Yeah, but in fairness, she's the one that should be setting the standards, not him.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
And maybe that's what she's coming to tell him. Maybe she's coming to say, I don't know who you think you are that you can just walk back in and try to do this, but it's not going to work. I'm dating somebody. I'm happy. Leave me alone. If I want to see you again, I'll call you kind of thing. I do think I always think it's cute when guys remember, like, the first time he saw you, or you know, what you were wearing or what you smell like or whatever. I just love that because it's like, man, she really made an impression on you all those years ago.
You really noticed.
It's true because if you think, what was I wearing on the first day of fourth grade?
You wouldn't know.
Who knows? But when people do that, I shouldn't just put it on a guy. It's romantic if from my viewpoint, from a guy. But it's romantic, I think, when people remember the little things.
Totally.
Yeah. I like that she was like, why don't you age?
That was great.
Because, of course, you know, actors are very pretty, and he's very pretty.
I was going to say, he lives in L.A. Yeah. There's plenty of help. Age.
Totally.
Yeah.
And his, like, perfectly white teeth, and, like, he's ripped, and, like, she's like, and you eat like a rabbit. And I'm like, he has to. It's his job. But it was just funny that she kind of called him out and gave him a little bit of crap for that. I thought that was cute. But, yeah. I mean, I like her. I like Sophie.
I still think she's going to be a challenge for him. She's not going to make it easy.
But I like this challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, he's really fighting for this one.
Mm-hmm. I think she's going to make him a better person, but ultimately, she's not the one. Just putting it out there. I would like to be wrong, because I like her. But I liked Sloane, too, so apparently my picker's off.
Oh, speaking of him going to her, did you see last week's, the three sentences that he gave her and everything like that? You like that?
Yeah.
You thought it was romantic? And and everything like that.
I thought it was brave. It was almost like an acting exercise for him to just go and like pour his heart out. And then I was so waiting for her to be like, I'm married. Like, like, really. So I thought it was cute that he went and did it. I think that's really brave. I think it's brave for anyone to go up to like an old crush or an old flame and be like, I still have feelings for you. And then just like wait for them to say something. And then if they're like, oh, this is awkward, I'm with someone else, or like, I don't feel that way anymore, like, okay, well, I did it. I did the hard thing. And I think that was good that he did that. Also clarifying for him too, to not be messing with those other two girls that he didn't need. So he did move forward in one way.
But that's not the last, now that I'm thinking about it, that's not the last we've seen of Sloane. Because he still has to do the play.
They still have to work together.
So that could add a different dynamic as well.
So note, as soon as Kevin is happy, Sloane will re-enter. Calling it.
Which might be next episode.
Which might be
probably.
Who knows?
Yeah.
We have how many left? Four?
Four.
Mm-hmm. What should be the finale and like have him be like super happy and then her just like show up naked to his apartment and she'll be like, hello. And
he'll
be like,
God.
Dang it. We were so close. Sloane? Yeah.
Ready to sleep with him or something. Just ready to take it to the next level.
Or all the girls just show up at one time.
Oh my God. Could you imagine?
That would be great, actually.
It's going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
So let's move on to Randall. And I have to start with that dream that we didn't know was a dream. That
so
scared
creepy.
Everything out of me. That was, I mean, I think it was well done first. Because it seemed very real. It was very likely that he could come home and William would just be there at the piano. I don't know, but that was I was like, no, it's too soon. Yeah. I can't already. But what did you guys think of the dream?
Scary.
Scary.
I think it was a mean tease, but I think it also
it was a mean tease.
Yeah,
they're teasing his death every episode now.
Definitely. But I think it's a sad realization that it's happening, you guys. It's happening. Because we're getting it on all fronts, not just from Randall, but, like, all different outside sources are saying it's eventually coming to an end for him.
Yeah.
So I think it was a mean tease, but it was a preparation more so.
Yeah, I feel bad for Randall. I felt bad for Randall all episode. He just wants to go to work. You know, when you're stressed out, sometimes, like, you just, like, having one thing going on in your life right can be helpful. So he wanted to be at work instead of, like, looking at his dad dying. Having his kids mention death all the time was obviously freaking him out. When he just started getting attached to him, so he's like, I just want to be good at something and go to work. And you can tell that by the end of the episode, his hands are shaking. We don't know if it's because he has a medical condition or if it's because he's just having panic attacks that he's never had before.
That we know of.
Yeah.
It could be psychosomatic, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
But Beth, always coming through and being the support system that he needs. Even when they were meeting with, what was his name, Simon, and talking about end of life care and everything like that. And
she handled that really well. Well, she's been like, where are you going?
She's been through it before.
Yeah.
So, you know, if nothing else, I think it's better that Beth is by his side because she has done this.
Almost definitely.
And I think, and maybe I should say this for prediction, but I think it's going to get to a point where Randall is maybe literally going to have to lean on her. Because something is going to happen. Either William's going to go in the hospital or care or something like that, where it's literally going to take him physically and she's going to have to be there for him. And in a very serious and loving way. But I love Beth. I say love it every Beth. Week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her Cisco comments.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Such a good way of describing it, too. Like, she was just like, I'm going to need you to take it off. It's because I love you, but I'm going to need you to... And he's like, I understand.
Awesome.
That marriage shorthand of, like, that's not happening this week.
So good.
And he's like, I'm not going to fight it. Fine.
Like, you're right. You're right.
It comes from a place of love, Randall. It comes from a place of love.
But Amber, going back to what you were saying about Randall at work, that isn't going so well.
Now,
he's still basically fighting with Sanjay.
Yeah.
On every step, and now his accounts are being taken from
him. Is it really fighting, or more so he's just resistant? Because, yeah, it sucks to have, like, someone in and also, like, do your job as well, if not better. I mean, granted, Randall's a bit distracted right now, so, yeah, they're alleviating his work and shifting it to other people. But, I mean, it doesn't seem like he's fighting. He's just mentally competing with him, but I think it's just a business thing that's going on. Yeah, if you have a lot on your work plate, just give it to someone else.
Yeah.
I think he does need to be honest with his boss what he's going through. So. Yes. That's what I think making it painful for me. Because then he understands why he's not at the dinner that night. And, yeah, you still might get this guy who's going to try to take advantage of that situation and move himself up in the ladder. But I think if you've been there a lot longer, having your boss know that, is going to be better off for him in the long run, I think, than just failing to show up at certain work things and feeling like there's, you know, tension amongst coworkers.
I agree. I'm surprised he hasn't told
them. Me too.
Mm-hmm. Like, you would think after 12 years, there's some sort of rapport that they have where he can just walk into his office and be like, look, I'm going to need to be away for a little bit because this is what's going on.
Yeah.
I prefer
Maybe
if
Beth's
you keep it quiet.
Drop the news.
I wouldn't be surprised if she comes busting through the door and be like, look.
She's like, why are you making him work this long? And they're like, what?
This is what happened. Yeah.
She will not like that.
You think he can ask for a sabbatical if it is a family-related thing. Yeah. I don't know. I think Randall's too, again, he doesn't allow other people to help him. He wants to be the person who helps others.
He's not good at being not in control.
Exactly.
He's not good at not leading.
Well, I don't think he wants to show any form of weakness to have this other guy, you know, get above him, too. So I think he's trying to, like, still act like he's got everything put together.
He doesn't want to lose his dad and his leadership.
But sometimes it makes a good leader when you can ask for help. Because if you can delegate and just be the supervisor of things, maybe it makes it easier where he is able to go off and take care of William or be at a chess tournament or something like that.
I did think it was interesting that they wouldn't even let him go in and say hi to his client. Like, that worries me a little bit. Like, because if you're a business and you've had a client for a long time, even if somebody else goes to lunch with them or whatever, you still see them in the office, you're going to go talk to them, go say hi. So that made me a little fearful for him, as if something else was brewing.
Well, I think they had talked and they were like, okay, Sanjay, you're taking over this account. And he's like, really? He's like, yeah, don't tell Randall because Randall's got a lot on his plate right now or whatever they're thinking. And Randall's picking up on that and he's like, no, I don't. Let me do my job.
Yeah, but a client's going to also wonder too, why is he not saying hi to me or why? Like, you pick up on that stuff right away. So I don't think that's
a
good way to, like,
a wave or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that you mention it, that is true from the client's perspective. It's like, who's this new guy? I've known him for however many years. Yeah. Why doesn't he even get to say hi?
Like, yeah.
I don't know. Now you're making me nervous about his work situation. Not just taking away his accounts, but, I don't know.
They must be really concerned about him at work if they're taking that away from him, because that's that's what, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars, whatever contract he's signing, they're bringing into it. So if they're not even letting Randall get close to it, they're worried about their money.
Yeah.
Sometimes with business, money takes precedence over people.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very sad.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other discussion for another day. But, yeah, William, as somebody mentioned, every episode, it seems like now, there's a mention of, I'm not going to make it. I've got a couple of days left. And I guess, to an extent, as a person going through it, you can kind of feel it. You can feel it's coming to the end. And I guess he's just trying to be responsible about it and saying, let me spend the few minutes that I have with my granddaughter left. Let me teach her how to play chess, even if it's at midnight or 3 o'clock in the morning.
I understand that. For me, it's a little bit much. I feel like he's been saying that a lot, and I'm a little on Team Randall on this. Like, could you not remind people that you're dying every day? Like, we know. Do you want to, like, live for a few days before you dig your own funeral? Is that what you, like, that's... Maybe I don't deal with grief very well, but, like, I also feel like Randall's like, could we not make everything dark and stormy? And, like, until he's not able to walk, he doesn't really want to deal with it. Or maybe that's what he's, you know, thinking, and he's feeling something differently. But I would not love my father telling my child, if I had one, you know, like, by the way, I'll be dying soon, so come play chess with me at night. Like, I would be like, oh, don't scare her. Like, I get that feeling, but I also get...
I don't think that's the way it went down, though. That's not... I mean, she asked him to play.
True.
It wasn't like he went into her room and said, hey, get out of your bed, come play chess with me, I'm dying.
Yeah.
You know, she went to him, got him up, and also because her dad was working all the time, and she had this... And then she had soccer on the weekend. No one else was there around to play with her.
Yeah.
So, I actually, if I had a child, would love it, to be honest, because I think your time with your grandparents is something you can never get back, and it's precious. I wish I had more time. So I would actually applaud my kid being up at 3 a.m. playing with my grandparent, because that's what they're going to remember when they're 30, when they're 40, when they have kids.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's precious time, definitely. I enjoyed it. Yes, it might get annoying that he's constantly reminding people he's eventually going to die. It's like, okay, we get it, eventually. But, yeah, they could be a little... I can understand why Randall is, you know, upset with this. But I think it's more so a reminder to the audience, don't get too attached to this character, because you love him now, he's not going to be around later. But I do actually have a bone to pick about the chess. How did she learn chess? And then, literally in 24 hours, she wins a tournament. I was like, unless she's Bobby Fischer... Sure, maybe.
Maybe he's just a really good teacher.
No. That's a good point.
Maybe William's just really good.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe it.
Maybe other kids don't have their grandparents.
Maybe she's
them chess.
Really smart, true. Like Randall, too. Like,
unless she's Bobby Fischer, I'll believe it.
She might be. You never know.
I don't think so.
She could become the next.
Well, she was the same girl in the pilot, right, who wasn't playing soccer very well. She wasn't interested, right? Correct? There was two girls, and one of them was like, hi, yeah. And the other one was like, what is happening on the
field? I found it so unbelievable. She's learning chess and learning the basic core rule of chess, protect the queen and the king, but protect the queen. And then literally she wins the whole freaking tournament the next day. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that wasn't the only lesson. I don't know.
That's my
mind. I'm going to go with she's just a genius and it makes sense.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. It's a good point.
No.
Whatever.
Besides the point.
What did you think about the memory boxes? Are you on Randall's side of it? About how it's too soon and it's kind of, like, morbid to think? Or are you on Beth's side where she's like, it's nice to put together things that will help you remember your grandfather?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I love Beth.
Yeah.
I think it was also the way Beth presented it, also. It wasn't like, do this now because he's going to die tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's just like, this is something you just slowly but surely put together because you love him now, you're building your memories right now, but keep them for later. So, and I think her approach at it was, and her mentality, because she's been through it, was just like the best way to do this memory box. Yeah, it wasn't out of spite or, you know, or anything. It was really out of compassion, kind of.
Yeah, I agree. I think preparing anybody for a loss in a meaningful, peaceful way is always helpful. And I think she's doing an excellent job at it. I think that's brilliant.
I wonder if we're going to see that as a flashback in, you know, how it relates to Randall, but him having to be there for Beth at the time that she lost her father. because that might give us some insight how she was been able to.
Oh, that'd be interesting. I'd love to see any backstory on Beth.
Yeah.
By the way, this is us. Any backstory on Beth would be great. We get nothing on her. She's just perfect all the time. That's I would love to hear her story or how they met.
Well, like we announced last week, they have two more seasons to fill it in. So hopefully we'll see that. Yeah. I would love to see Randall, like, ask her dad for her hand.
Cutie little Randall.
I just feel like that would be, he would be so nervous. And it would be
my goodness.
Wacky.
I hope it's, like, the most imperfect proposal ever just to, like, spite Randall's perfection. Because you know he had it, like, planned to the nines. I'm already imagining it. It's, like, in a Tiffany box and, like, in Manhattan or something. He's like, yeah, he went balls to the wall, I'm sure. Aw, Randall.
But I think that's a great way to slide into predictions. Yeah?
Yeah.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Who would like to go first? I forgot mine.
I should have written it down. You just had a big one.
I know.
I actually do have one about Randall, about his job. Because we see at the beginning of the season, like, no one really knows what his job is, and it doesn't seem like he's happy at his job. He does it because it pays the bills and he makes a lot of money. He's obviously successful. And then we see a lot of his workload is getting shifted to other people. I think he's on his way out from that place. I can totally see him switching gears and, like, once his father actually passes away, like, I think that's a big enough thing for his life to be like, no, I'm not happy where I am. I'm going to live my life to the fullest. I'm not happy at my job. He's going to go somewhere else and do something else in his life. So I don't see him staying at his weather place for that much longer.
I predict that Kate is going to have some trouble next episode. I predict that she is going to go into Cabin 13 to tell Gross Boy off and then get tempted by him and then eventually tell him off or go out of there storming, and Toby's going to see it. I predict that Toby, because he's still kind of lurking around camp, you know, trying to get her attention, he's going to see it or something's going to get back to him. And that's going to delay the engagement or the wedding for a little while, because they're not great right now. They're not breaking up, but they're not—they're having some troubles right now.
Both very good ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say that one about the work too, because I think he—I think we see his hand shaking and stuff. I think he is going to have maybe some sort of either a severe panic attack that actually, like you said, put him down to where he's having health issues himself, and I think he's going to walk away. Okay, I think I'll touch on Rebecca and Jack. I think she is going to go on the road. I think this is going to cause problems with them. And I think while she's on the road, that's when Jack is going to die. She's not going to be there.
Jake, that is so good, though.
I can't even follow that up.
I hope it's not true, but that's all I got tonight.
That's great, because if you think about it, we saw that, like, that snippet of the funeral. We know that the kids are teenagers, and in this episode, the kids are teenagers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Blown away. That's amazing.
I think don't like their mom very much, too.
That could be some of the anger.
Like, the mom left. Like, they'll view it as the mom.
JJ, I have goosebumps. You just scandalized me. Stop.
It's too good.
Oh, my gosh. Phew. Well, on that note, everybody, please, if you are watching, if you are listening on YouTube, on iTunes, tweet us, comment down below, like, hit the like button while you're down there,
and let us know. 5 stars for that prediction.
Yeah, let us know what you're thinking about JJ's prediction. Like I said, I can't, there's no follow-up to that, so I think we're just going to wrap it up.
No, Jack lives forever.
Marissa, let everybody know where you can be found.
You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV.
Thanks for watching, guys. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Amber Plaster.
And you can follow me at JJ Juergens.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'm your host, Erica Shannon, and you can find me on Twitter. Keep the conversation going at Miss Airy Baby, and we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.